the sun takes some of your sickness too with it.
Yeah, that's why you pray in the morning.
And then the sun leaves it down on the other side.
Yeah,
huh?
Takes it and he leaves it, well, just like leaving it. And you come back, it comes around fresh again in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So I think Wizzy would know more about this
if you would ask her which way you lay down.
Which way you lay down.
Yeah. Do you know Wizzy very well? Would you like to go and talk to her? Would you like me to bring her over sometime?
I don't know her that well. I mean, I just don't know her that well. I know who she is.
Yeah. Some of these things, if I think that she would really like to have somebody that she could talk to that was younger than she is. I don't think her own kids care very much about these old things. And I'll bet you could ask her questions that would get real good Indian answers out of them. It would just be great. Shall we try it sometime?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
I'll have to think about how to fix it up.
You have to ask her how she might not like it.
Yeah.
If she's a real older lady and she might not go for it.
I think the thing to do would be to take you down there. She's pretty closely related to the Summer. I mean, to Mabel and all.
Well, then, yeah.
So that might make a... It's kind of an embarrassment. Try it the other way around sometimes.
Yeah.
So, well, you don't still sleep that way, do you, in your own house?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. I believe in it because I've been taught ever since I was little. My kids don't sleep that way either because my mother told me and my grandma told me that you don't sleep like that.
So you have the beds...
Well, my bed sits sideways.
Your bed.
My
head
is over here. My feet is pointing that way.
Your head is to the south, and your feet to the north.
Yeah,
huh?
But you never sleep with your feet pointing
to the east.
Yeah. Well, and no matter, like I'll say an Indian, maybe he might live way back east.
Yeah.
And if a Paiute went there, they'd have to maybe change their way because the sun comes up different places.
Yeah. Well, the sun comes up from the east mostly,
mm-hmm.
So that they'd. Well, that's fascinating.
Well, it seems like when we went to Kalyani, the sun came up over here. See,
uh-huh.
And that's still in Nevada.
Yeah.
And the sun comes up more this way in the mornings.
I think you were turned around.
Yeah, it just seemed, you know.
It sure seems different someplace.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Well, now. But you could sleep with your head to the north and your feet to the south.
Yeah.
Would be all right.
Anyway,
except with your feet to the east.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll certainly have
but
to
now, see, it, see, now I've been taught that.
Yeah.
My grandmother told me that. Now, probably a lot of women my age,
yeah.
They probably don't know this. Mm-hmm. They probably sleep anyway.
What about taking naps? Would you take naps a certain way? Just instinctively?
Well, the way your bed is.
Well, I meant,
you
suppose,
go lay down.
Suppose if you were laying out.
Out in the open.
Out in the
I
open.
Guess it wouldn't matter because it's already, the sun would be
yeah.
way up,
uh-huh.
You know, high already. So I don't think it'd make any difference, but it's just the way you sleep when you go to bed at night.
So then, presumably, everybody in this house is sleeping with their, at least partially oriented.
Yeah,
the
like
way
you're talking about yeah. how they would sleep. In this grass house or...
So they obviously are not sleeping all with
no,
their heads to the fire or all with their feet to the
no.
fire.
Maybe they'd sleep alongside of the fire.
Yeah.
You
that,
know,
that
but
could be.
Not...
Not like the spokes of a wheel.
Yeah. Maybe it would be more... convenient that way, maybe it would save a lot of room. I mean, if everybody slept like that.
Yeah.
If they had a small house.
Uh-huh. Your grandmother surely must have lived in one of these things.
Well, I told you about when she was a little girl. Now, couldn't you just see that she did live in a house
yeah.
like that long time ago?
So what other kinds, what
because
other houses
she,
did they... build along with it? Did they have a sweat house?
Yes, all Indians had sweat houses.
They had sweat houses.
Maybe they had one community one that they could go to. Yeah, maybe some people could go to this one, and then maybe somebody else wanted to come to it. Maybe they didn't have any, or they didn't build any. Maybe they built 2-3 of them in one colony or a place they were camping. Uh-huh. Yeah, community, like you say. Because they believed that brought all your sicknesses out. My grandmother said that's what you sweated everything out of you, your system. So she said it's a good that you had a sweat house, and because it brought all your sicknesses out, because you would come out feeling light and light in body make you feel real good. She said she mentioned that to me.
What did they? I've heard that in some of these things they prayed real loud. And really talked.
All Indians
kind of begging for help from.
Oh yeah, if they were sick too. Yeah. See, yeah, they do. And they cry.
Uh-huh.
Some of them cry. You know that they'd hurt with them so bad that they'd really want it to go away, to be taken out of their body and all that. Yeah, they do pray loud.
And while they're in the sweat bath.
While they're in sweat bath. You're supposed to pray anyway when you go on there, even if you're just feeling good, you know.
Yeah.
And you come out feeling refreshed and, you know, feel good. So my grandmother said.
You do. So now we're going to talk about fire and torchlight.
About torches.
Yeah.
Well, a long time ago, like I was telling you before, that this Lovelock was filled with brush wolves. They had a lot of wolves around, and then anything, you know, they'd attack anything to eat them for food. And so she told me, I'll tell you for instance what she told me, that a long time ago they camped, you know, maybe one family camped here, another family camped maybe a mile or so down, further on down the river. Wherever they camped, you know, along the river's edge. And she said, I don't know whether this man was related to her or not, but he went from one camp to the other camp, and he had a big torch, carrying a torch while he was going along, you know, for light and to scare those things away, too. So he went from this camp, and he had on a deerskin cape. Oh. It was hard. I mean, it wasn't a softened deer skin. It was a hard, it was a cape. It was real hard. And he had this around his shoulder, and he was walking through the, he must have had paths and stuff.
Sure, they would.
Going along, and he had this torch in his hand. Pretty soon he was attacked by a great big brush wolf. He said he jumped on him, and it said, I guess he put it over his head when he was going to bite him. Uh-huh. You know, he tried to hit him with the torch, but he dropped it, I guess, from what she said, and he covered his head, and he hollered and screamed, you know, for help to the next camp. And I guess all the men, she said, a long time ago they kept big torches on the fire with a handle sticking out.
She said
when something like this happened, she said the men, they just grabbed their torches and they all ran toward the man, you know, where he was hollering, and they all went there. And when the brush wolf saw all these torches, men coming toward him, I guess he ran off, and his torch was laying there. I guess it was still burning.
It's still burning.
So he picked that up. He didn't get, you know, bite real bad because he had this torch. And this cape on it. Said this brush wolf just hung on him, just like, you know, just really had him on the ground. And those people came and rescued him. So on fire, they did keep torches burning.
Wonder what these torches would have been. Wood.
I don't. Yeah. Greasewood.
Greasewood.
Probably greasewood, maybe tied in a big bunch, tied in bunches. You know, maybe, you know, greasewood isn't very big.
Yeah, I know.
They could maybe put about, they grow about that big around. Yeah. Maybe they could tie about 3 or 4 of them together. And then keep them in the fire, she said. That's what they did.
They kept them.
Yeah. Then so they just grabbed them and they just ran out. They scared animals away and things like this too.
Now, this is the first real, actual experience that I have heard about wolves, you know, as far as the Indians are concerned.
Uh-huh.
They have the name for them, but they are almost always in legends.
Yeah, but my grandmother said there was a lot of them here the time when she was a little girl. There was a lot of brush wolves, she said. They were all, I guess they'd come at night, she said, they would come around the camp. So that's why they kept the big torches burning. I mean, they kept these things. She said they had the handle sticking out of the fire. And they had fire going all the time, and they had these sticking in. And that was one experience she told me that
Do you remember any others?
No, that's the only one.
It weren't any that, or they might have gotten children other than this.
Oh, yes, yes. They took children off, too, she said, sometimes, even the days, in the day.
They would?
They'd grab a, maybe playing too far out,
so
these brush wolves would, one or two, she said, would come and would carry a child off, she said. And she showed a way that they did it. They'd grab them, you know, by the arm or something, and she said they just slung them over their backs, and they just ran with them. They were big.
Yeah.
These brush wolves are great big things. And she said they did carry them off during the day sometimes.
I wonder if that's why some of the Indians are so frightened about being out at night.
I don't know.
Haven't you heard that the old people especially don't like to be out at night, or are afraid to? Well, it seems like that's kind of contradictory, because I know that they used to walk a lot at night.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say.
Like my grandmother said, you should never be afraid of the dark. Don't ever be afraid of black. I mean, the darkness.
Of the darkness.
Not ever.
Yeah.
Because she said, a long time ago, that's the way Indians got away from things that were dangerous, like soldiers would come into your camp, or, I mean, they wanted to kill you or something.
Yeah.
She said the darkness can take you away from these things.
So
we were taught never to be afraid of the dark.
Yeah.
But she told you never be afraid of darkness, because that can save you.
That, you know, that's almost word for word what Wizzy told me about the dark.
Oh, yeah.
Almost word for word.
Uh-huh.
And, they try to get to their houses at night, though. Some of them try to get home at night.
Well, they're afraid of these things, though.
That's what I was wondering.
Afraid of the wolves or maybe a lion or something like this, too, they might be afraid of. But then, now coming back to the Indian believing in Indian doctoring and things, too. Past midnight isn't a very good time for an Indian person to be out. Around 2 in the morning. I mean, before the sun comes up, maybe, I'll say. Because, now this was told to my mother by a great Indian doctor he died long ago, said that your spirits and things, they come out about around there.
Come out of your body?
No.
Or you mean that the spirits that are around?
Yeah, around.
They're
among us all the time. That they're that they're here, but the time most likely to see them is past midnight. Up around in there, but they're here with us all the time. He said they were mingling with us all day long. That they were here. That they're here on Earth with us.
But after midnight, they show themselves more.
Yeah,
is that right?
If you were out, that would be a wrong time for you to be out at night. Maybe that's why Indian people are afraid to be out too, about, you know, late at night. But a long time ago, well, I guess they always believed this, I think. Because if they had Indian doctors way back, well, they knew these things too. But then this is what he told her, that you should never be out like that, because that's when you see strange things. Strange things come out at night.
Speaking about the spirits, do you believe that the soul has something to do with the breath that when a person loses their breath, that's when they die, or when their heart stops, or when what? How can you?
What do you mean?
Well, Woozy says that when you die, you lose your breath, or sometimes
your sung up. Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
And so it's your breath that
your breath is gone out of you.
Is the indication of life. Now, lots of times the white people, until just recently at least, felt that when your heart stopped, by then
you're dead.
And the Indian people believe when your breath is gone, you're dead.
Yeah, because you breathe in and out. You.
So, I remember we went to a cave around Fallon with Wizzy and another old lady, and they were afraid to go into the cave because they were afraid that the cave would take their breath away from them.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so I was wondering if you had anything to say on breath as far as life is concerned. I've also heard that when you die, your breath goes out the top of your head. Had you heard that?
No, I've never heard that.
Hadn't heard that.
No, huh.
You just lose your breath.
You just lose your breath, uh-huh.
And that's the sign of being dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard any other thing
but
just that.
And then I imagine that some of the old doctors could have taken your breath away from you too.
Oh, yes, they could stop you from breathing, and then they could start you breathing again. I don't know how they did it. They did it. They brought you back to life.
So that you're
breathing again. They say a person can die for a little while and then come back.
Huh.
There's all kinds of little beliefs like that. People dying and coming back. You know, that really died.
Died.
But I don't know for how long. You've heard stories, you know, like that, little short stories about how this person died and they sent him back, so he came back and people on earth knew he was dead. I mean, that were sitting around him, you know, he died and they were crying, and pretty soon he came back again. Then he came back and told a story about how they didn't want me there and they sent me back. They said it wasn't time for me to, you know,
to go yet,
so they sent him back.
Now, would that have been a doctor or just an ordinary
anybody
person?
Anybody. Like if I died or something happened to me, and I went to a place like that. But they always told about this place being beautiful, green.
Being beautiful.
Yeah, and seeing other relatives there.
Oh yeah.
That died.
So it was green, huh?
It was green.
Yeah. So in other words, it was the opposite of the harshness of the desert. It was a green place.
Yes, a green place.
Uh-huh.
Everything was green. And they, you know, always they tell about things going on.
Uh-huh.
Like a card game or, you know, things like this always going on.
Pleasant things,
yes,
that are there, huh?
Or a dance. They've just got through doing a dance or something like this. My mother, she almost died, but she didn't die, but she almost died. She was real sick while she was delirious.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you'd say delirious.
Uh-huh.
And the people came after. See, we believe that if you get sick, real sick,
uh-huh,
that's someone that really liked you or loved you, or your mother or your grandmother would
uh-huh
come for you. Your
uh-huh
relatives would come for you, try to take you back.
Uh-huh.
But when she was real sick, and she got real delirious. Well, she, later when she got better, she told that how her aunt and her her grandmother, she saw them, and they told her to come with us, that they were going to have a dance someplace or something,
mm-hmm,
you know, and told her to come with them. But she said she didn't want to go with them because she didn't have her shoes.
Oh.
And so that's why she didn't go with them, because she didn't have her shoes. But if she had her shoes, I guess she would have went with them. Then she said she would have died if she had her shoes on.
Was this her moccasins or her shoes?
No, her shoes.
Just her shoes.
Just her shoes. That was not very long ago when she had this dream.
When she was in this hospital?
When she was real sick. When she was delirious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. That they came to take her there. Uh-huh. But she wouldn't go because she didn't have her shoes. Uh-huh. Well, see, maybe it wasn't time for her to go.
Right.
So she didn't go because she made that, you know, so uh-huh. she didn't have her shoes. But she'd tell things like this, the different things she'd see or who she saw. Uh-huh. And she doesn't see very good, but then when the time comes like that, she says she can just see everything.
Yeah, I guess you don't need your real, these eyes yeah. to see those things. Uh-huh. But.
Uh-huh. That was from fire to something.
Yes, isn't that the truth? I was just thinking how far we went from fire, but it really isn't. These are just things to suggest.
Yeah.
There's the word hearths here. You know what a hearth
fireplace
is?
Fireplace hearth?
Yeah, kind of. Well, a hearth is where even a campfire
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah.
They use it in that term. Mm-hmm. A place where a fire is being built is a hearth. They over there at the dig, they call these places where there were fires built, those were hearths too. And are there any stories about hearths in some cultures? You know, there are certain, spirits that live at the hearth, or they look to fire with, as being something that's supernatural. Or do they ever pray to fire? I had never thought of
no,
that.
No, I've never heard them pray to fire.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I never heard of an Indian starting a forest fire or brush fire either. Yeah. I mean, yeah. even as far back, I've yeah. never heard
of them doing
of them doing that. My grandmother never mentioned anything like that.
Now, let's see. Did I hear about them doing something like that to chase some animals?
I've heard where, yes.
Paiutes?
Paiutes. Yeah. In the Pinot Range, I've heard... back up in where we always go pining, the Table Mountain.
Yeah.
Well, my grandmother told about how one of her relatives, I don't know which one.
Yeah.
She talks about so many.
Yeah, sure.
That one of her relatives started a fire in the canyon because uh-huh. on account of the snakes, there were so many, uh-huh. and the brushes would grow where the path where they'd walk through. And they didn't like the snakes, so he started a fire at the foot of the canyon. It just burned right up straight to the canyon where the path was, and it just burned all that way and then burned itself out. And I've heard of fire being used like that to burning
the
trail.
Where the snakes,
yeah. Where the snakes were.
Now see, that's another
I've heard
idea.
That.
I've never heard about that before.
Mm-hmm. But I never heard of them starting a brush fire.
Yeah,
or
I was wondering to chase such things as deer or antelopes or anything of the kind that might have been around.
Oh, gee, it would have been a pretty big fire if they had to do something like
I
that
know.
Because the deer would run pretty fast.
Yeah. That's a real sensible idea to burn, because of the snakes.
Uh-huh.
Because they certainly can get in the canyons, can't they?
Uh-huh. And this is one certain canyon, if you ever saw it, I mean, you would... You mm-hmm. could just see just how it was. It really is. It's down through sort of a gully like, mm-hmm. and he had to burn a pathway because that was a trail, and it got too many snakes in there. She said so. That's what they did do. They burnt this. He burnt the trail.
Are there any rattlesnake stories? About rattlesnakes themselves, I've heard stories where the rattlesnakes did something, but are there any rattlesnake stories that are about rattlesnakes themselves that you remember of?
No. I've heard of a place, and I don't know where this is at, but my grandmother told me that they used to go to see the snakes. She told of a place where they used to go see the snakes.
Really?
And that was the craziest thing she said that they ever did. She said it was on a ledge. The snakes were... I imagine it on a ledge like this. Well, it's a hill, I think, that they went up on, and it was a ledge, she said.
Uh-huh.
When they walk on it, she said it made sound. The ledge made must have been hollow.
Yeah.
And she said here on the on that edge of that, she said her brothers found it. See, they were always over the mountains,
yeah,
and looking into this and see what's up there, yeah, and you know all, uh-huh, that. So they found this. So every year when they went to get to go deer hunting, she said they always went to this ledge to go and see the snakes.
And the snakes were down over the ledge.
And the snakes were over the ledge. She said they had to lay on their tummies,
uh-huh,
and they had to look over under. And she said there, I don't know how far down,
uh-huh,
was this. She said snakes were just thousands. She said there were just a lot, hundreds of snakes. She said they're all in a big ball, just rolling, you know, just a mess of snakes. She said, and she said now when she got old, she said she wondered why they always went there to see those. But she called them Wayezigi. She said she always wondered why we always go and see them. But she said the whole family always went and saw these snakes on their way to hunt for deer and, uh-huh, stuff on this other side. Now it must be up in this area.
They didn't do anything to disturb them.
They didn't
them.
Do anything to disturb them. They just went to look at them. And that's the only thing that I know a snake she did do.
I'm going to turn it on again.
There.
Yeah.
She said they would always stop by to see the snakes. And then now...
These were rattlesnakes, right?
Yeah, rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
And she, uh-huh, says now that when she got old, she, uh-huh, thought about all this.
Uh-huh.
I wonder why we did that. She said, uh-huh, but the whole family stopped up and saw all these snakes, uh-huh, laid over the ledge and, uh-huh, peeked over and, uh-huh, saw all these. Just wanted to see the, yeah, snakes.
All that.
Oh, and another thing about, you're talking about snake stories and everything. The Indian people believe if a rattlesnake was coiled up, right, maybe concealed in a bush, and you,
yeah,
went past it or something.
Yeah.
They said if you, well, white men believed that they would make a sound to warn you,
yeah,
that you were coming.
Yeah.
But then the Indian person believes that if it's coiled there, and if you're coming quite a ways toward it, or before, mm-hmm, you get to it, well, there's something wrong with you, that you're sick in your body. There's something the matter with you. You're sick, and a snake doesn't like it or doesn't like you because you have a sickness in your body, and a snake can feel this sickness in you. And they will rattle to warn you, to tell you.
Oh. So if you are approaching it and it rattles, then that is telling you that you have a sickness,
yeah,
in your body?
Yeah, you have a sickness in your body. You're sick. And then, and here comes another person. He can walk right past that same snake in,
yeah,
the bush, and the snake won't make no sound at all.
Oh, I see.
And that,
yeah, I know that there's, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't.
Yeah, but that's, yeah, what they believe. But you think of the white man's way.
Yeah.
Well, sure, anything disturbed, if you're walking along and you kick something and a snake hurt you, well, sure, he's going to,
yeah,
warn you. But this is just one of the Indian Paiute beliefs.
Yeah,
uh-huh. And if you go past a snake, another person can walk right past it and snake won't even make any sound,
yeah,
at all.
Yeah.
Well, that means there's nothing wrong with you if you can go past it without him biting you.
I see.
You know?
Uh-huh.
But then there's a possibility he can strike you too if you can ride close to him.
Uh-huh.
But that's what they believe. This is one of their beliefs on snakes. That my grandmother told me this too.
Look at how many snake stories, and we didn't think we had a snake,
yeah,
belief.
You know, when you was talking about it, I didn't think about this.
Yeah.
And then another thing, too, I think we talked about it on another tape where you put something red on when you go to the Pinot Hills, too. That's,
yeah,
a snake. Has to do with rattlesnakes, too.
Uh-huh.
That they don't like color red.
Yeah.
Or they don't like the smell of tobacco.
Uh-huh. Or like that. They don't like the... Oh, they, yes, that's right. Was his husband killed a snake by spitting tobacco juice
into
it?
Yeah, I've heard that. I've never seen it, though, but I've heard about, you know, people doing this to snakes.
Uh-huh.
They don't like it. It'd kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And some Indians have their medicine as snakes, too, rattlesnakes.
Oh, here's something else. There's supposed to be a difference in the kind of rattlesnakes in the mountains and in the valleys. Have you heard about this? In fact, there were two different names that I've gotten for rattlesnakes in the hills and rattlesnakes in the valleys.
Can't think of any right now, but mm-hmm. they have an Indian name for a rattlesnake.
What is your
Wayezigi, they call it.
Yeah, I can't remember which is the mountain one and which is the valley one. I thought of something else about snakes. What was it? Oh. About rattlesnakes having friends. The dove. Did you ever...
Yes, there's a story about the dove and the rattlesnake there. Oh, uh-huh. I think that's his sister.
The dove is the rattlesnake's sister?
Uh-huh. My grandmother told me, and I tried to think about that the other day when the one time he was talking about snakes. There's a story about how the dove will tell his brother the snake if you copied him. You're not supposed to copy the dove, or the dove will tell his brother the snake. And he will sit. There's a little song about this, but I don't know it.
Oh.
My grandmother used to sing it all the time, that he will tell his brother the snake to wait for you, and he's going to bite you and he'll kill you if you copy the dove. Is that the one that you...
Exactly.
Yes.
Because one day I was out with Lizzie, and I copied the dove, and she scolded me. She said, don't do that. But I didn't know it was his sister, see.
The dove is
a sister of the rattlesnake.
Uh-huh. Now that you mention that, I was thinking about that the other day when you mentioned snake. I was thinking about the dove, that you shouldn't imitate the dove. You shouldn't, you know.
Oh, there's another thing. I wonder how many how much imitation that the Indians did of the various animals.
Everything. They imitated everything.
How about this? Did you ever hear of a person calling a rabbit by squealing?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. That's the way they brought them to you. I mean, I don't know how they did it, but lots of times when you're out hunting, too, you make a sound, because the rabbit will freeze, and if you stare into one spot, you know how they freeze against the background, and you can't see them, so you have a whistling sort of sound that you whistle, and then when this rabbit hears that whistling sound, he'll wiggle his ears or something. That's to see where they're at, where you can kill them. Because they can run and, you know, run into a bush like this, and you wouldn't know where they're at, but you know they're there. So you kind of whistle, you make a whistling sound, and you watch that bush or anywhere around, and you'll see them move just a bit because they heard this whistling sound.
Can you make that sound?
No.
Well, now...
Well, they call it, they you pungid, they say.
What does that mean? Can you translate it?
It's a sound.
Uh-huh.
Pongizi gives a sound. It's just a sound.
I see.
Sort of a whistling sort of sound with your mouth. And that's to... Yeah.
I guess.
Pongizi.
Yeah. Kind of a kissing sound.
Only loud.
Mm-hmm.
Real, the men's make this noise real loud.
Loud.
Uh-huh. My grandmother was good at imitating things. As old as she was, she used to copy the doves with her hand.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah.
She wasn't afraid to copy the dove?
No, that was when she was at home.
Oh, I
see. When she was telling you the story.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Said
she'd copy. Uh-huh. Even the owl or things like this.
That.
So they did imitate everything. But there was a time you couldn't imitate anything either.
Oh, really?
Yes.
When?
Like a lady... Or a man, if he was going to have a baby, his wife was going to have a baby, or something like this, because they believed if you did copy the owl or the duck or something, that your baby would sound this way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you couldn't say anything like that at that time.
Uh-huh. You know, that brings me to something else. I wonder how the old Indian women knew when they were going to have a baby. They didn't keep track of their period times, did they?
No, I don't think so.
They wouldn't know right away, surely, would they?
No.
I mean, not until they started to
grow bigger.
Well, what about morning sickness? Was there anything about that? Were they conscious that they did have morning sickness? Some didn't they?
I never did, and I'm an Indian.
You never did?
No, I've never had, like you hear about people, oh, they can't smell of this. I mean, I read stories about, in white man books, about, they cooking breakfast and they got sick to their stomach and they had to throw up or anything. I've never done that. Never. Hmm. Never threw up or sight of blood or you know, you'd hear things like this. It never happened to me.
I wonder if it does.
I don't know if it ever happened to any other Indians. I'll have to ask my mother if they got sick when they were like this. Maybe some of them did. I don't know.
Yeah. Because the things that they believe in relation to women being pregnant, they'd really probably want to know pretty soon whether... you know, if a person was pregnant, because they had some beliefs that would start just as soon as they got pregnant, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Or as soon as they knew that they were pregnant.
Yeah, they were. See, it now comes back to how, you know, the husband shouldn't too. So his wife must knew that she was going to have a baby, that they were going to have a child, and that he shouldn't do this or something like that. So there must have been a time that
she would
maybe her mother would, and then to tell, her husband.
Yeah. For instance, such things as over there in the Taboos country, they find these little clusters of Taboos that the squirrels had collected, and they felt that if a pregnant woman dug those out, why then the squirrel would eat her baby, deform her baby if she was pregnant. So they'd have to know.
Oh yeah, see, and if you had clear back like that, well, gee, they must have known.
No. I wonder what wonder if they did anything special when they first realized that they were pregnant. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I've never heard of anything like that.
I mean, like bathing or...
No, I haven't heard of anything. It's just after that you had the baby that you had to keep clean and had to have, well, good thoughts. And you had to be hardworking and, you know... Well, you had to be in those days, I think.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, food was real scarce. And
yes, this has to do with water snakes.
Getting back to snakes.
Yeah. I know that there were many, many more snakes in those days than there are now.
Yeah, that's what she said. She said you could just walk over the snakes. She said they were so many snakes, and the people weren't afraid of the snakes, she said, because my grandmother said she wore them around her neck, she wore them on her arms, they wore them for belts, they wore them around their ankles. She said they just wore snakes everywhere. They played with the snakes. Now, these were the water snakes, not the rattlesnakes.
And they probably would be the gopher snakes, too.
Probably. She said they played with all the snakes, and nobody was afraid of the snakes. The Indian women weren't afraid of snakes because the children played with them.
Uh-huh. They were afraid of some of the lizards, though, weren't they?
Yes, they didn't like the lizards.
We came across a little black lizard yesterday, and everybody was kind of watching it pretty close.
Yeah.
We were out gathered. Yeah.
Yeah. But that really is something. Yeah, she said she carried them all over. Well, she wasn't afraid of snakes.
Going from snakes to lizards, were they afraid of any of the... I guess they were afraid of numbers of different kinds of lizards, though, weren't they? For different reasons.
Yeah.
They're afraid of the fast ones. And they're afraid of the black ones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the the black ones would run up inside you, is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah.
Well, would any of the other ones run up inside you?
No.
Just the black ones?
Yeah, just the black ones.
The black ones.
That my grandmother told me about the black ones. They were afraid of those. She shouldn't kill them.
You shouldn't kill them?
No.
Oh. Yeah, yesterday we had a little black lizard watching us all the time we were eating them. They watched us. The women watched the lizard pretty carefully.
Was that older women? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then I watched them. They were always sitting like this.
With their legs crossed in
yeah.
case it...
Yeah, they were... And then I noticed that I was not sitting that way, so I kind of looked around to see if they were wondering whether I was sitting differently or not.
Just cross your legs.
Yes, and I crossed my legs too, because I thought I ought to do what they were doing.
Yeah.
And then there's the horned toad, the
little
horny toad. Wizzy said that the horned toad was a doctor. Do you know which one I mean, the horned toad?
I know what you're talking about.
Did you ever hear of it being a doctor?
I've never heard of it being a doctor. Well, maybe, but I've heard, off. Yeah, I've put heard of it taking sickness out of your body.
That's what
wherever,
I meant.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
wherever you're sore or wherever you hurt, well, you're supposed to pray to him, too,
yeah.
to the horned toad. And you put it wherever you're not feeling good, and that it'll sit there,
uh-huh.
and it start to swell, puff up,
uh-huh.
and they get real big. And they believe that he took all your sickness out of you, and you have to let him go.
Did you pain?
No.
Uh-huh.
I never heard of anybody paying him, but uh-huh. just getting him from, you know, wherever he's at, the desert, and he takes his sickness with you.
And takes it away.
And I don't know what he does to it. Throws it out or something.
Uh-huh.
But then if you're sick, and if you put him somewhere, he will start to puff up.
Uh-huh.
Then I've heard of them, people crossing through the desert where they don't have no water, asking him for water because that's his place, that's his country where he lives, way out where it's dry, where he never sees water.
Uh-huh.
And then I've heard of, well, my grandmother told me that anytime you're passing through the desert, if you feel thirsty, you're supposed to ask him for water, and he gives you water.
In what manner? How does it
I don't know in what manner, in your mind or in, because you prayed for him. Well, you won't feel thirsty, she said.
Oh,
he'll make you don't feel thirsty. I don't know how.
Oh, I see. He doesn't actually deliver water to you.
No,
but you are not thirsty.
Yeah, you're not thirsty because you ask him for water. See, he carries water. He has water.
I see.
And so you ask him for water if you see him, but or you'd have to look for him.
Uh-huh.
Maybe hold him in your hand, or I don't know how they did it. But you ask him for water, too, and let him go. So that's why, she said, a lot of Indian people cross the deserts for miles with no water,
uh-huh.
and they'll live. Maybe it's because they believe in him.
Yes.
And that's why they uh-huh. probably don't feel thirsty.
Uh-huh.
Now,
they relax
and
don't worry so much.
Yeah,
probably.
For water.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Uh huh.
Well,
and that's about horny toads. I think that's about all I know about that she's told.
Wizzy said, I don't know whether they did it always or just sometimes, but I thought that they put a little string of beads around his neck to pay him.
I don't know.
You hadn't heard that?
No, I haven't heard that.
So they may. Some people may and some people...
Yeah, they might not.
We haven't finished this, but we've come close. Are you getting restless about getting to see those people?
No. Well, you have to leave too, don't you?
Well, I just was wondering whether to go on with... We're at weapons here on this particular... you know, following these lists.
Yeah.
I just wondered whether we wanted to do some more or whether we want to quit. Or.
Well, I do have to see these people too.
Yeah. Well.
On my committee.
Yeah.